Hi, guys, and welcome to Taste of Premier. On this episode, we're going to have Natalie Turner talk to us about a brand new Premier offering, so stay tuned. Chris, play the music. Hey, guys, and welcome to this week's episode of Taste of Premier. As you know, when there are new Premier offerings, we like to talk about them. And so today I've got Natalie Turner with us, and she's going to tell us about a brand new offering from Premier. Natalie, you there?
I'm here.
Awesome. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on the show today.
I've known you for a long time. I knew you before you were Natalie Turner.
You did. Yes, you did. That's been a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, it's funny because Chris, when Chris and I were talking before you came on the line, I kept calling you the other last name.
Oh, did you?
I'm not going to say it loud on the show. I don't want to confuse anybody.
Mm-hmm. I know. Yeah, we've been around a long time. I tease people and tell them that I started at Microsoft when I was 12 years old.
That's right.
Before marriage and babies and all that.
I actually made the mistake of asking somebody some question about Lake Point, and they said, "What's Lake Point?" They
didn't. I know what Lake Point is.
Yeah. So for everybody out there, we're in Charlotte, North Carolina, and we've been in the buildings that we're in now for well over 10 years. Mm-hmm. And before that, we were at a site called Lake Point, and there are very few of us left that actually remember Lake Point. But it was cool. We started out in a single two-story building and ended up with, I think, 5 buildings by the end of the...
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
And now a big campus.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Anyway, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
Awesome. So I hear we've got a brand new Premier offering that you're going to...
We do. Yeah, we actually have several offerings, and we'll talk about a couple of them today, just because of time limitations and some of the ones that we'll want to focus on. But we do have several offerings across the different solution spaces. So if anybody has any questions about any that we do have, their TAM or any of their Microsoft account teams can get them access on any of the offerings that we do have coming out of Premier now.
Yeah, so the word that I keep hearing is repeatable IP. And so what I'd like you to do is tell us a little bit about what repeatable IP is.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we think of our IP, it's, we have various different architects, subject matter experts that work with our customers, and we see various different types of solutions from business objectives and technology spaces, and we see them across various different industries, size, scale, and we come away from those with learnings of how we can put something in place that's based on Microsoft recommended practices and what we know works based on what we've seen across all these thousands and thousands of customers that we touch. And so what we do is we put that into what we call our IP. And then we can take those learnings and leverage that when we're working across all these various different customers that we touch so that we're not reinventing the wheel each time or we're coming into a customer space and trying to figure out, from a raw sheet of paper, where do we start now? We take those learnings that we've experienced previously and we make that available to our customers so that they do have the ability for us to work more quickly and bring all of that to bear so that we bring a level of experience to the customer where they may not experience that if they work with someone outside of Microsoft.
Okay. Yeah. So these offerings, right, the situations and the outcomes may differ, but the process itself is the same, and so that's what we're leveraging.
We do, yeah. So we take the same approach, and we leverage that across whatever your particular customer solution or scenario is. And we have an approach, you've probably heard this in working with several of the folks at Microsoft you work with, where we approach it from an assess, plan, educate, advise, prevent, optimize, and stabilize are the phases that we use. And so within each of those phases, we have different portions of the services capabilities that align into those phases, and we do that repeatable with customers over and over.
Yeah, so, but we've always had things like workshops, and we've always had, the ability to dispatch an engineer to a customer site. We've always had things like our wrap services, right? Our AD wraps, our exchange wraps. How does repeatable IP change that, or does it change any of that?
It doesn't change from the perspective down to the core component, the individual service offerings or the service pieces that you were talking about there, the wrap, dispatching an engineer to come do a workshop for you. When we look at this from a repeatable IP, it's seeing those scenarios across various different customers and looking at how that fits together into a package that's relevant to an outcome that's successful. So you may have all these different things you talked about, the workshop, the wrap, doing some training and some education. And we have found that when you put these together in a particular flow and you do them based on particular outcomes, that together leads towards an outcome of success. And we can then take that, package that up together, and make that available to our customers by leveraging what we have already done kind of independently. But we're putting it together in such a way that it becomes much more relevant and impactful.
Yeah, so in other words, I used to order this stuff a la carte, right?
Yes.
If I wanted a workshop, I'd go to the catalog. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd find what I thought would work well for my customer. I'd order that workshop. And my customer would get the workshop. And then maybe a few months later, if my customer has like an Active Directory infrastructure or an Exchange infrastructure, they may want an Exchange wrap or an Active Directory wrap. So those are also a la carte services. So I would go book that, and you know, an engineer would come out, probably not the same guy that taught the workshop, and he would perform that wrap, and then we'd maybe do some remediation after that. And the engineer that does the remediation is usually the same guy, but not always the same guy.
Mm-hmm.
But those were a la carte services. So it sounds like what you're talking about, I heard you mention scenarios and different combinations of offerings a few minutes ago. It sounds like what you're talking about is an offering where we've kind of bundled these services together.
Absolutely. So when I'm talking about a scenario, we have various different scenarios that we look at. But for one in particular we'll look at today, it's probably relevant to many of our customers as they are approaching the end of life on Windows XP support. Many customers are thinking about, okay, what am I going to do to move to Windows 7 or Windows 8? And in that preparation for moving to what we call that modern desktop, the capabilities around that, we look at this and say, should we put this together in an offering where we do this in a flow and a time frame that's going to give the most impact and relevance to the customer to help them do this successfully. We price that in a way that it's built as a package, it's more cost effective to our customers, and that delivery experience of what they get from the experience of the resources that are dispatched to come in and deliver on each of those components of the package, we work together seamlessly as one team that is coming together for that one experience around the whole package. And that way, we minimize the churn, the ramp-up of having to transition from, a workshop was done 2 months ago, and now we're following on with education, and there may be a loss of context because it's been so much time or it's different resources coming in. When you buy that holistic package around the desktop modernization, in this particular scenario, you have this across a series of time, and they're structured in a way of a flow where we can align those resources to deliver that as one unit to the customer so that the whole experience is much different.
Okay. All right. That sounds great. Well, let's look at the desktop modernization offering.
Sure. So we have a data sheet that's available to all of our customers. You can get access to that by asking your TAM or your ADM or any of the folks that are on your Microsoft account team can get you access to these. But if we look specifically into the one around desktop modernization capabilities, what we're wanting to do is engage with our customers in a way to help them reduce the cost and the risk and the complexity of doing the deployment. So as they're looking into, you know, what it's going to take and how would we maybe like to accelerate this in order to meet maybe the April timeline that's quickly approaching around Windows XP end of life, if that's something that you're facing right now. engaging with your TAM on the particular package, what we'll end up doing is saying, okay, this package is inclusive, as we talked about, of many of those different components. And I'll tell you each of the components of this one. The one thing that I do want to say is whenever our customers are purchasing these packages, they are getting reduced pricing on this from the perspective that we're able to get more economy of scale whenever we put these together, and we can do our scheduling and we can do our assignment of resources and the delivery in that consistent manner I talked about. So it's not only a benefit of the experience and the outcomes they get, there's also a financial benefit to our customers by having them purchase these in a package perspective as opposed to that a la carte that you were talking about before. So any time that our TAMs are working with customers, they want to identify, of course, what are going to be the challenges the customer is facing and the benefits that they would get from any of the packages. So, you know, I talked about we want to help our customers to reduce the cost of you know, operating cost or the complexity of the deployment, maybe increase the support productivity. You may have new hardware that you're looking at around moving to a new desktop OS, and you want to look at what's going to be your capability so that you can fully exploit the software capabilities in conjunction with the new hardware you have, or maybe around your infrastructure security, enhancing that. All of these things are going to be looked at from those resources we bring in to deliver this, and they're going to see how that best fits into that customer scenario we're talking about. So given that, with desktop modernization specifically, we look at those benefits, and across those phases, we said we always come out with the assess plan, your educate advise, your prevent optimize. So you've probably heard your TAM talk to you about this is the approach of how we do things with Premier. Within those, and looking at that holistically, we've taken all of this data from working with so many customers and finding what's driven to the success of that. We found out which are the best components of what we've had available in our catalog to stitch together. So with the desktop modernization, you'll start out with a 5-day deployment preparation and planning. So as you come out of that deployment preparation and planning, you're working with your customers around setting that plan in place. The next thing that we do is the RAS. You talked about that, and we do one specifically around your risk and health assessment for your Windows desktop. You get a remediation plan out of that that we'll give to the customers and making sure that they can build that around where they have risk areas and where there may need to be some changes that need to be made and calling those out. The next thing that's very important in that assess and plan phase and looking at your current state is going to be doing a group policy risk and a health assessment as well. So you'll do another 1-day RAS specifically around group policy. So that takes care of the first week and 2 days of the work that we have going on under this package. So as I said, the TAM would work very closely with the customer on coordinating the timing around this, because once we come out of that assess and plan phase, we want to very quickly then move into the educate and advise phase. So we have something that's called the Microsoft Service Map, and that is going to take the next 5 days. And so that's all around the dependencies and the cross-functional areas that are evaluated. And then we're going to assign what the accountabilities are and the roles around that. So coming straight out of that first phase we've done, we go into that educate and advise. Those 5 days cover the service map, and then we're going to go into something that's going to be very relevant to this, which is around the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit, then around deploying Windows. That's the next 3 days. You're going to get very deep knowledge around what it's going to take to design, deploy, and customize Windows coming out of something specific to your environment. And after we've done the 3 days of that, we follow up with 2 additional days of just Windows 7 application compatibility, a workshop on that. We want to train the customer's resources around how to assess the capabilities and the compatibility of their applications that they currently have, and Windows 7 or Windows 8 if you're moving into that space. And then give some common issues that we typically see and some feedback to customers on what they might need to look at specific to some of those key relevant applications that they'll need to worry about the compatibility around. So those that right there takes us through about little over three weeks worth of time to do that assess, plan, and the educate, advise phase. Once we come out of that, we want to then move into what we call the prevent, optimize, and we have some specific components that work within that phase as well. So we do image, process, and management review. 3 days around that, we will work with your customer specifically around the operational processes for the technology involved in maintaining all of this around your image. And then we follow up with 5 days of just basic deployment support. And we'll have our resources in there to assist you in the remediation of a pilot deployment so that you can actually see how that's going to work within your environment. So all of that stitches together. We do, as I said, a very intentional scheduling of these particular components together to give you that full package so that when you come away from that, you've moved through that whole scenario, and at the end you will have a pilot where you can actually see how that works in your environment.
Wow, that's
so
really
I know that was a lot. I was going to say, I know that's a lot, so it may be that you have questions around it, but I did want to kind of cover that whole spectrum of what you'll get from beginning to end.
Wow, so it looks like what we've done is we've essentially defined 3 phases, assess, plan, educate, advise, prevent, optimize, and then we've taken services that we already have available a la carte-wise to customers, and we've kind of bundled them together so that it at the end of the day, it's an entire plan, right? We walk in, we assess, we look at where you're at, we do some planning with you, then we educate you, we teach you a workshop, you know, we put you through some workshops, we do the service map. We actually look at the applications that you have currently deployed, make sure that they're going to work if you're currently on XP so that, you know, there's no issues moving those apps over to Windows 7. And then in the prevent optimize phase, image process and management review, that's pretty cool. And then basic deployment support so that you can build an image, test it, and actually test deploy it in a pilot.
Yep, absolutely. And the good thing about this, as I said, is, you know, our goal here is to help accelerate your time as a customer to getting to a point where you can see this whole phase the whole spectrum of that solution from beginning to end. So we stitch that together in such a way that you get an experience over a few short weeks of what it's like to embark on this and come out on the other end with a pilot around it.
Yeah, and so that's actually very, very cool for a couple of reasons. Number one, like I said, I know that you can essentially order these services a la carte, but if you do that, then you're going to have a different delivery resource, right? Mm-hmm. The person that comes on site from Microsoft is more than likely going to be different for most, if not all, of these services. And that person may have a different way of doing things or may or may not mesh well with the staff that's there. And so that's always an issue, right? That's always traditionally been an issue. The other thing I think is price, right? If we order all of these services a la carte, number one, you might not get them in the right order, so the benefit there would be not as great. Mm-hmm. Number two, you know, it seems like that would be a lot more expensive.
It is, yeah. When you do the a la carte, and it's just because of, you know, when we put them together, It is something that's more seamless and it's scheduled and it's delivered in a way that is one holistic unit. So we do have the ability to get that economy of scale and can drive the pricing down a little bit. So there's, like I said at the beginning, there's benefit across the experience, the speed to which we can deliver this, as well as the financial benefit that you get.
Yeah, so certainly shines the light on services, on the services part of devices and services.
Absolutely does.
Okay, let's look at another one.
Sure. So another one that is of great interest these days is around SharePoint 2013 migration. So as customers are preparing to move to SharePoint, whether it's through an upgrade or a migration, they've often come to Microsoft and said, hey, we need to have some assistance and some support here, and you'll help us figure this out. And what we do is we take a look or an approach of looking at what your business needs are, and mapping that to the new capabilities available in SharePoint 2013. And we've put that together so that we can quickly assess the current state of your environment and then help our customers and their teams plan for that successful migration in a very phased approach like we had previously. It's priced in the same manner where we do this in a way that it is one single unit, so the pricing is a bit of a benefit to the customer as opposed to if they were to do this individually. And we go into the approach of this to look at reducing the risk that happens whenever you're going through a migration. So we're leveraging our Microsoft recommended practices around everything we do, from configuration to operational approaches to this, helping the customer avoid any of those known issues that we have seen across many, 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 many customers, and then educating them on the new approach to how you use SharePoint 2013 and the new capabilities of the platform. And then also, you know, try to come in from the perspective of always remediating and removing any risk so that we can call that out ahead of time, which helps alleviate any of those pitfalls you might find where you end up with trouble tickets open. So we want to call that out early on. So kind of just diving into this a little bit deeper, as we did with the desktop modernization, we always take that same approach to looking at it in phases: the assess, plan, educate, advise phase, and then the prevent, optimize phase. So across those three phases, what we want to do, and this one we stitched together, and this one's over about a 7-week phase approach. So we start out at the very beginning when we're doing our assess and plan, and, you know, we love to make sure that we're doing RAS Plus or RAPS with our customers. So with this one, we do have a SharePoint RAS Plus. And this one is a 2-day risk and health assessment that we do, where we come in and we look at any of the operational issues that may be in place or configuration issues that may be in place to ensure that it doesn't affect anything with your business. The next thing we do coming out of that is 2 weeks of operation and governance review. As you know, with SharePoint 2013 and even previous versions of SharePoint, operations and governance is such a critical aspect to laying the foundation for a successful implementation of SharePoint. So we look at this through 2 weeks of looking at best practices and recommendations, and then validate this as part of what your governance plan would be for SharePoint 2013. Coming out of that assess and plan phase, excuse me, we move into that educate and advise phase, and we're going to spend 3 days with the customer and their teams around doing a deployment and upgrade workshop so that we go into all the ins and outs and all the prerequisites that you need to know about before you would deploy or upgrade from SharePoint, from a previous version of SharePoint to SharePoint 2013. So, you know, this goes beyond just SharePoint. You have to look at things such as SQL or App Fabric or IIS and some of the recommendations and best practices that need to be put in place around those integrated components that will make for a successful 2013 implementation of SharePoint. Coming out of that, we're now ready to prevent and optimize and dive right into that phase. And from here, we do 2 weeks of heavy on SharePoint architecture and migration planning. Or, you know, we may do architecture migration review. So we're going to, again, dive into what are those Microsoft recommended practices that we've seen over and over and over with many of our customers, and look at validating what you're doing with your existing plan, and make sure that you've got a solid design and migration plan to ensure that it's going to be successful when you do go to 2013. And then coming out of those 2 weeks, we want to follow directly on from there and really making sure that there's a solid disaster recovery and high availability review that happens, because it's so critical to make sure that we dive into, you know, any of the health risks that might be there or some of the areas that we might need to make sure that we've done remediation around, so that we have a solid disaster recovery and high availability plan in place and ensure that that's optimized for your environment. Make sure that if there's any problems that you have, optimal backups and a recovery process that will quickly get you back up into an environment that's going to be healthy and running again.
Awesome. Yeah, by the way, you and I know what these terms mean, but I just want to make sure that our customers – yeah, I just want to make sure that the people watching the podcast know. Can you tell us what a RAP is and what a RAS is?
Yeah, so our RAPs are our risk assessment program. And then when we do a RAS, that's where we do that as a service. So you're basically having what we call a RAP as a service. And so we do that from a cloud perspective. The good thing about the RAS is those can be continual and ongoing, so that you can kind of do that from a self-service perspective. And we've had great, great success from that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love it. I love that program because, number one, it helps me keep my customers healthy.
Absolutely.
Number two, it's just another, you know, opportunity for us to shine, which, you know, we all love.
Yeah, and I think, too, it's very empowering to customers because it gives them the tools and puts them in place so that they can monitor this and do this also without having to have someone come on site and kind of coordinate and schedule that. So RAS is a great service that we're providing, and we've gotten a lot of great feedback from customers from them.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, that's really cool. I really appreciate you coming on and doing this. By the way, are you going to Tech Ready?
I will be at Tech Ready. I'm very excited about that this year.
That's awesome. I'm a little scruffy looking today because I'm growing my beard.
It kind of fits. It looks like you are at a racetrack, or what's the numbers in the background there?
Oh yeah, 83. That's my that's part of a NASCAR car actually.
So you got your NASCAR look going on.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna try and be at Daytona, so.
Oh,
so I'm
that'd
excited
be fun.
About that. Yeah. A buddy of mine's actually a NASCAR driver. He used to be 83. This year he's 55. So go 55.
Go 55 instead of 83. Who took his 83 spot? Do you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's going to be an 83 car this year or not. But Brian Vickers is my buddy, and he's moving to the 55.
Okay. Well, good luck to him.
Absolutely. Go BV. Anyway, thanks again for doing this. This is really cool.
Yeah, it's been my pleasure.
Just to recap, there are going to be lots of packages like this, not just these two.
Mm-hmm. There are several already available.
Yep.
Beyond these.
And the benefits are that, you know, consistent delivery, that's huge, and less expensive than doing this separately. One question that I did have that I don't think that we covered, so I'll just ask it real quick, is customers that have Premier agreements can use Premier hours to fund this, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. There's two ways to fund that. So you can purchase them as add-on services to your Premier contract, or if you have an existing Premier contract in place, you can use that existing Premier contract to fund these.
Awesome. Awesome.
And the TAMs that work with you on a day-to-day basis have all the specifics and the details on how to make that available.
Awesome. That's awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, guys, that's another episode. Thanks for listening in. That's your Taste of Premier.